folks, welcome to the Muskie 360 podcast. Jay Bird.
Hey, Steve.
How's she gozing?
Really good. How about you? Up in Canada.
Wunderbar. I am sitting here at Merkel's Camp on Wabagoon Lake, broadcasting live right now, but recorded when you hear it from Canada.
Live from the goon. It's Stephen Paul.
Live from the goon. I'll tell you what, freaking cold fronts be danged, buddy. It is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. It doesn't even matter on the goon. Been zipping around this place. Gonna hit Eagle here in a day or two, but got up here, what, 2 days? Got four? Come on. North wind, water temps are, I mean, it's just the conditions are falling apart, and they're still biting on the goon, which is awesome.
Nice.
It is super cool. Jay Bird will be up here next year. He had some probation he had to work off.
I'm taking 6 weeks off next week. Jim doesn't know about that, though.
He doesn't know it.
He'll never know.
Jay wouldn't be missed. No, where's Jay? I don't know. He's in the basement.
I'm not sure. Haven't seen him.
But anyway, very excited. We wrapped up the Wisconsin leg of the Great White North filming regime, or whatever we call it at this point. But it was good stuff, man. We got some really nice fish. Jay got some really nice fish. We've hinted at it. We've teased at it. I have to just tell you, because people have seen it in the boat. People pointed out Jay did a TikTok, and it was just a millisecond, and some guy froze it and saw it, and then a guy saw it at the bash, and I hid them in my boat. Guys.
Okay, yeah.
The Livingston Lures, I can't even talk. I've been on the boat since 7 a.m. The Livingston Lures Kraken hybrid tube is coming out. And we're just going to release the promo video we shot this coming week. Jay sticks a Pegasaurus Rex in the face, right in the, stick him in the head, Jay.
Yeah, that's what I've been told to do that nonstop by some of the employees. Stick one in the head for me, Jay. So, it's like, I don't know what that means.
Jay hold on. You're going to hear noise. You can come in. You can come inside, everybody. It's Tim from the Netherlands walking in. Tim, say
Tim!
Hello.
Hello.
Oh, he doesn't want
to. Hey, Tim.
Tim doesn't want to. He can't hear you. He doesn't want to be on
the
podcast.
Can
he
hear me?
He thinks the podcast, he doesn't understand what's wrong with me. He's turning on the sink. Now, that's good. That's good for the show. Wonderful, Tim. There's Tim washing
his
hands.
He's on the understanding that the podcast is pure AI. It's not done by real people.
He doesn't realize it's not done by real people. But anyway. The Livingston Lures Kraken. It's a hybrid tube, hard body, soft tail, versatile wading system. You're going to see it coming out this week on Muskie Shop TV. We absolutely greased them in Wisconsin. And, you know, a couple casts on Wabagoon is all it took.
Herbie, nice. You got one too? Okay.
Herbie stuck a Gigantosaurus Rex. Tim's gabbing. Well, he's grabbing an intercontinental Pepsi, I'm going to call this. This is a very fancy Pepsi. You have to pop the top, and it has like a foil label. Stella Artois. I didn't know we were at a ski resort, Tim. What's wrong with you? It's ridiculous. He hates me. Absolutely hates me. How fancy Euro of him. Anyway, long story short, Herbie popped a Donkey Kong on this thing. It couldn't get much easier to work. It's going to be a pretty cool thing. You're going to see some mind-blowing footage, Jay.
Okay.
Heads will explode. Not really. But it's pretty cool. New presentation, so that's going on there. Not to plug more Livingston stuff, but we'll talk about it here in the comings and goings. We're going to have Ben Kellius on. Tim just shut the door. Thank you. We're going to have Ben Kellius on here very shortly. Good friend of mine. He did the Spitfire Kamikaze. Well, he ran into some issues, not personal or financial, just some, you know, life takes it out of you sometimes. And I set him up. We talked to the people at Livingston. Now there's the Livingston Kamikaze. So, Ben's vision. They redesigned this blade. It's completely unique blade. Some really cool things going on here. They work together hand in glove. You can get the Kamikaze at the Muskie Shop. Jay, what's going on with that thing? You threw it. You've seen it. Fill them in.
Yeah, we did a few shorts, so a little bit of water time on it. The thing just came in last week, so when did it come in? Thursday or something?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, so we got something finished with that. I got one, you know, underwater demo of it up on social media. So looks great. You know, shallow water coverage. It's, you know, like we were talking about, Steve, it's a non-bucktail presentation. Yep. It's something different. And it's a fantastic throwback lure.
That's the ticket.
Good tool. High vibration and multiple running depths on it, too, just depending on your speed and rod angle.
Guess what? We've been smoking them in a cold front on up here, Jay.
Cold front bait. You bet. I believe you.
Yep.
Nice.
The black and orange one in Canada. Are you kidding me? Low rod angle and just slow roll it. It's ridiculous.
Cool.
So I wish I had more than one black orange one right now. But there's not much of it left. It's been crazy good. We've got some really good fish on it. I'm sure you'll see the footage soon. But that's been the lay of the land. So the Kamikazes are back at the Muskie Shop. Other than that, Jay, what's going on there? I know there's some new stuff that came out. What are they? Comings and goings at the Muskie Shop.
We got a good dose of high fin stuff, surface baits in late last week.
Oh, so really? Like on the website. Which one? The Sky? Is it, you know, the Skywalker?
The Creeper and the Hogbuster. The Hogbuster is the jointed Creeper. Ooh. So it's nice to have some more of their voices in the Creeper section there. And the Twin Teaser Tail, kind of a classic double segmented back section tail bait.
That is as old school as it gets and very fun, though.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Go ahead.
I know where you're going to go, but the high fin stuff, that was like one of the few wooden top waters back in the day. You know, they're classics and they dialed those in. We're going to say the hot tails.
Yeah, I don't know if we talked about those yet. I can't remember if they came in after.
If we didn't, we should.
There's a hot tail lockjaw crankbait.
Right.
And it's in. I consider that in the affordable range for some wood baits. You know what I mean?
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
Six and eight inch soft tail. We threw that thing in the boat. You gave it the thumbs up.
I like you.
And I've got some underwater footage of that coming out soon too.
That's got to be the only, like, Anthony at Hot Tails makes such like bad to the bone stuff, and. You know, that's a pretty accessible price point for something that's handmade and just an ass kicker.
Yeah, really, there's not a ton of handcrafted stuff out there anymore.
No,
it's always nice to see someone putting the effort in.
No, it's a cool crank, kind of a. It's got a fat wobble, but a kind of a walk to it when you're casting it. Soft tail. It's a really interesting bait. Seems like one of these deals that. The faster you run, the tighter it'll get. You know, if you want a big loping thing, we were ripping it. We were twitching it. It looks very cool, very erratic, great profile. Sort of a
high in the water
shallow
type presentation.
Yeah.
Great over weeds and stuff. Yeah,
good,
for sure.
Good target. Good profile, Jay, is what they say in the business. Good profile. So that's a wonderful presentation. What else you got, Jay? Anything else getting funky in the cheese whiz?
Super new stuff. That covers most of the super new stuff this week, I think. Just a ton of restocks like usual. It's summer and we can't get stuff fast enough. Right,
things
now.
Are
it's just
crazy.
It is crazy. And what, tomorrow's August? Unbelievable.
Is it really?
I think so. Or 2 days.
Know,
yeah.
You got Monday.
Just like that. Bam. You're looking at fall right around the corner.
You say that, and I'm dealing with a moon phase tonight on the app. So my apologies if you're looking for August moon. It'll be up this evening.
We're going to be talking sucker fishing any day now, Steve. I mean, think about that.
I'm a sucker for fishing. Yeah.
We should do an in-depth sucker video. You know what I mean?
Already did. Me did it already.
Coming soon.
Suckers R Us featuring JSE and Stephen Paul. And then we'll also do a sucker fishing video. So two different things. Anyway, I think, Jay, I think I can pull a 30-minute podcast because of upload times based on the Wi-Fi I'm dealing with. So we're going to get into some Q&A here, folks. I apologize. Okay. I'm working on some better Wi-Fis. And I said Wi-Fis like the hillbilly I am because it's funny. But
oh, there's a bunch of them.
I might be down at the Starbucks next week, Jay. It's kind of grim, so I'm kind of play it conservatively this week. Not because I don't want to talk to you. It's because I can't. Okay, I don't want to either, but I can't.
We saw a lot of each other last
week. Stan, I'm looking to get into a little more in tune with lure depths.
Ooh.
As I have found, hold on. I threw on a little bit of the Wisconsin, and folks, Jay, sing a little REM for me, because we don't have music here. When the day is long. Start into it for me. Please do it.
No, I can't stand that song.
Well, do something.
I remember when you played that a couple of years ago. It was sad.
I'm something somber. Folks, I have to announce the death of Dick Stemke. You might remember him from the Ice Noodling Championships or some other podcast bits. His obituary, somehow, after a night of hard pepsing with me and Jay, an obituary for Dick Stemke ended up in a Minocqua newspaper. Best $30 I've ever spent, but nonetheless. Jay, how could someone read? Actually, Jay, you know what? Forget about it. I'll read it. Folks, me and Jay.
Okay, let me just, no one's read this successfully without laughing, okay?
I can.
Go ahead, try.
I can. I've read it enough.
I'll do it if you don't want to, but please.
I can handle it.
Okay.
So,
I'm ready.
Folks, we're supposed to be talking muskies, but maybe one night.
Okay.
Me and your old boy Jay there got into a mess of Pepsis. And maybe we took a picture of Jay with a cigarette in his mouth, and maybe we wrote an obit for the beloved Dick Stemke. So I'm going to read it. Jay, where could somebody find the link? Lakeland Times, lakelandtimes.com, search obituaries. It'll be the name Dick Stemke. Stemke is S-T-E-M-K-E.
Correct.
Let's see if I can do it. I am literally pinching myself already to try to stay straight face.
Okay, try.
Dick Stemke. July 4th, 1950 to July 21, 2023. Earth lost an angel, but heaven gained a master outdoorsman and lover. The Stemke family is saddened to announce the passing of Dick Stemke, who lost his lengthy battle with shingles on July 21st, 2023. After 26 confirmed Viet Cong kills, Dick returned to his beloved Minocqua to start a family with his wife, Ethel. Dick was a man with no boundaries who fathered many children in and out of wedlock, all of which he and Ethel loved. I'm trying my best, and it's very hard. Dick had a passion for the bang-bang, as he called it, of the local Minocqua bowling scene. After bowling an inconceivable 242 with a 10-pound house ball, Dick considered going pro. But before these dreams could be realized, he fell in love with muskie fishing in the fall of 83. Dick created the Stemke tail, which he used to subdue not one, but two 55-inch muskies that year from Little Bear Skin Lake in Oneida County. Both mounts will be sold with the estate. A celebration of life was held at the public boat launch on Little Bearskin Lake Wednesday, July 26, where Dick's ashes were scattered. In lieu of flowers, Dick's family asks that well-wishers drink a Pepsi for Dick. Dick is survived by his wife, Ethel Stemke, and his living girlfriend, Crystal, and numerous children. Jay, they should check it out, the Lakeland Times. Tim, grab me a beer! Can't do it, Tim. He's doing it, folks. He's going to beat me to death in my sleep. Last night, I had to hit him over the head with a T-ball bat. Thought there was a lion in the cabin. He did. Anyway, Jay, where could somebody find the Stemke obit?
No, all you have to do is Google Dick Stemke, S-T-E-M-K-E, Obit, or LakelandTimes.com.
They're going to get more hits than they've ever had in the entire existence of that.
So good. The picture is just sick. Let me tell you, I had tears coming down my face when you were sticking props and the fake mustache and everything at me, and I thought you were going to die.
Yeah, it was
you're cramping up so bad. It was funny.
Good time was there, Bob.
Picture is disturbing, so let's continue.
Anyway, folks, limited time because of Canadian Wi-Fi. Gonna get after it here. Hit as many as we can. I promise we'll catch up on every Q&A and every topic you're dreaming of when I'm back in the States and a million years. Stan, I'm looking to get a little bit more in tune with my lure depth. As I've found, I'm going to paraphrase. He's asking about his trolling game in lure depths, right? He asked, have you guys ever used the Fishhawk TD or you just spend the money and get a live scope? I use a Muskie 360 chart and much appreciate it, but sometimes I run with a 2-ounce weed guard and wonder if it changes things when I'm trolling. Anytime you add something in your signal chain and trolling, it's going to change things, right? 2 ounces of lead can change things pretty dramatically.
I would expect so.
So if you check out, I'm not plugging, it sounds like shameless self-promotion, but like talking about next level muskie fishing, you know, you crack the book and I talk about checking the running depths on baits with panoptics. Tim is getting a bug zapper out. Tim, why do you have a bug zapper in your room? What? Why you don't want to talk out loud? There's literally, you know how many mosquitoes are in our cabin, Jay?
No, I don't.
There's enough that Tim has a bug zapper out. Anyway, it looks like day glow coming out of his room. So anyway, live scope is the most accurate portrayal of running depths. If you point it back at your bait, let's say you're running your bait back 60 feet and it's got 2 ounces of lead and you can sort of see where it's running in a foreshortened manner, you've got a very accurate or the most accurate portrayal. And another thing you can consider is, you know, whatever crankbait or what it might be, add your 2 ounces of lead and you try to bottom it out, the old school thing. When you augment a trolling bait, you're going to have to dial it in yourself because I don't believe there's like a very accurate resource for 2 ounces, 1 ounces for across the board. So I would recommend live scope. The Fishhawk, Jay, what do you think? I mean, I think live scope is going to be far more conducive.
Well, it's amazing. I don't know much about the Fishhawk, to be honest with you, at all. I mean, the live scope has proven itself. You know, one thing we were talking about when you were up the last few weeks is having live scope detecting beyond the light penetration follows and the sheer amount of them and the reluctance of muskies to be extremely active when they're doing so. And then, you know, modifying your tactics afterwards, you know, after examining all those follows that you're seeing. It's just like you need to be doing something different, you know, fish are deeper and all that. So fish you never see just beyond the light penetration is an eye-opening thing sometimes when you're on deeper lakes, you know?
Absolutely. Next up, Daniel. After the Big Bulldogs podcast, you had me frightened. I'm going to wreck my boat. Going to Andy Meyer's Lodge August 12th, fishing with Herbie 13th and 16th. He told me blades, tubes, and topwater. Are there any other baits you would suggest? So you're talking to the guy that has a backseat full of stuff for Herbeck. So let's not tell him this. Don't anybody be a snitch. But I know what he got from the muskie shop. It's in my backseat. Tubes. Yes. He just smacked one on a Kraken. It was white. And he's really liking the Canadian Crush Titans. So I got a bunch of those. And I'm hearing orange is kind of hot. And I've had enough Pepsis. I shouldn't have said any of this, but he's going to get really mad. Daniel also proceeds to ask about the biggest fish I've ever seen that hit a 37-inch northern. Can I get the GPS coordinates? No, you cannot. No, it's just look for the rocks. It'll be fine. You'll get there. Jay, we were discussing one thing. Tim's really mad. I keep yelling at him. What? Tim's my parent. When Jody's away, Tim takes care of me.
No, that's good.
It's kind of interesting, and I love Eagle, and we were just discussing this today on the boat. I'm playing around with the goon because Wabagoon here at Merkel's puts me, what, Tim, 30 minutes from Eagle? Public launch? 30 minutes from Eagle. 40 minutes from Locksall. And we are rip snorting, tearing around Wabagoon. It is a shield lake without the shield terror.
Okay.
It really is about the driving. I'm going to tell you guys, and if you're heading up here, or you headed up here, you're coming up in the fall or whenever it is, or you're thinking about Canada, take it from me. The one thing I'm going to tell you, do not take driving around lightly. Okay. There are rocks. The rocks move at night. They shift around the lake is what it feels like, right? Eagle is notorious for rocks that come out of nowhere because they don't taper up. That's the one thing I'm going to tell people. Oh, I'm going to go to Eagle Lake, and I've never been there, but it can't be that bad. It is the worst hellscape on Earth. It is dangerous. It is truly dangerous. I don't know a single person that has fished Eagle Lake for an extended period of time that has not wrecked their boat or ripped their motor off. That's it. Okay, it's not if, it is when. The last time I did it, it was a rock I've driven past for 30 years. And you're looking at the shoreline and you go, you take it just slightly wrong to avoid the other rock and you ding it. So be careful, be conscientious. Me and Tim were talking today. We love coming over to the Goon because Wabagoon is very forgiving and very safe in comparison. You don't have that same level of pucker. And we were joking today in the boat that, I call them black roads. Like when you have enough weight, like you're enough tracks down that you've got something like four times wider than your boat, you know, your trails on your fish finder. That's the only time I feel good on Eagle. And you need to be conscientious. Don't try to go. Obviously, you can't be on Eagle after dark. That's to protect the walleyes, not you. But be smart about it. I mean, I've just seen too much stuff over the years. I've seen too many people get hurt, too many people damage stuff. Really respect that lake with the utmost level of respect. You're not going to invent something new or invent some new route, right? So if you can get anything from Herbie, learn the routes, right? Obviously you want to catch a fish, but ask him for safe passage. What are the safe routes? What's marked, what's not? Eagle's one of these places. The camps are not going to put jugs on everything. Like up north, Jay, you know how it is, like, oh, there's a bad rock. Herbie Knutson put a milk jug on it. Eagle is sort of like, they'll find it.
Well, isn't the water low too?
Water slightly low. Me and Tim were there over there yesterday.
Okay, it's not too bad though. Okay, it
didn't
not an
look,
issue.
Didn't look. It's coming up. Okay. And it looked terribly bad, but that's the deal. I fished this in low water years back, and it's always fluctuating. But man, low water years are nasty because I've driven over that 30 times. You go kerchunk. So. You know, the one thing I'd say is this on Eagle. If I see an island, I'm pretty safe to stay about four casts off of it, and you still might hit a rock. So just be careful. Don't get cocky, because I've been going to Eagle since I was a wee little Steve, and I don't drive around cocky still. Herbeck doesn't either. Actually, I say that. Take that back. Me and Tim about crapped our pants one time because Herbeck drove over Muskie Point at about 50 miles an hour. So there's something to be said about that, but he knows like the back of his hand. But there's sections Herbeck doesn't know, and there's sections I know. And it's funny, we compared our waypoints one time. They sort of meet in the middle. But be conscientious of your safety. And as far as Eagle, like I said, Herbeck's going to steer in the right way. I'd say this time of year right now, let's be thinking blades. I mean, just for coverage, I hate to say that. I'm not a big blades guy, as you know, but it's Canada, and these fish are retarded most of the time. Anyway, John, whenever you guys find the time, could you do almost a masterclass on night fishing, possibly different techniques, night fishing on really clear, heavily pressured waters? He goes on to say, been raising 5 to 10 fish throughout the day, only to get spooked by the boat. Okay, so do we need a night fishing class, or do we need a mid-cast triggers class, Jay? Ooh, interesting.
Okay.
John, I definitely will hit night fishing as hard as we can here shortly. One thing I would say is this. If I'm continually having fish that are coming in, they're breaking off, it's clear water, pops in my head, increase my casting distance and focus on mid-cast to the last quarter triggers before we're boat side, okay? Something to consider. It might help you until we can sort of crank down on a night fishing masterclass. Jay, have you mastered the night?
Not a big night fisherman.
No, I'm just saying night. Just the nighttime.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. When I'm at my best, Steve.
Are you dialed in on the raccoons?
Dialed in on the nightlife.
Anyway, Jordan says, hey, Steve and Jay, what size rod do I need? Ha ha, the podcast is awesome. Keeps up the great content. Thank God we don't have to answer that.
Okay, I get it.
Okay, yeah. We're going to hit this last one. Guy says, how does weather affect night fishing? I don't know if we hit on that. Did we hit that last week, Jay?
Night fishing? No.
No. How does rain affect fishing? I don't remember, so I'll do it again.
Not recently. No, okay. Not recently.
It rings a bell, like Patti LaBelle, but nonetheless. Okay, so prefrontal, the storms are coming in, things are building up, things are getting wonderful, you're going to catch a muskie, and on the back side of that is high bright sun, dead flat calm. That's what me and Tim have been doing for 2 days. So you have prefrontal, postfrontal. So that's all good and well. But the rain itself is a different consideration. So if we're talking, and your question was the rain, it's a different answer than prefrontal, postfrontal. Rain, in my opinion, is noise and vibration. You can pretty much count that muskies will go deep and get out of that extra vibration, because I can only imagine it's noise. It's white noise on their lateral line. Okay, so you have all this data on the surface, if you will. If you viewed the world through your lateral line, through feeling and sensation only, at a certain point when you have too much stimuli, you would want to get away from it, okay? If we hear, as humans, we hear something far too loud, or we're trapped in a space, it's roaring, we want to get out of it. I've done very well by hitting shallow cover and structure in a deep way while it is pouring the rain. You always hear musky anglers go, well, you'll catch them before and you can catch them after, but when it's pouring, you don't catch many. Jay, you know this, grinding spinner baits. I could be on like an awesome topwater bite or a fast bite. I will take spinner baits and grind. If I'm standing in the pouring rain, I'm going to grind spinner baits, or I'm going to throw a tube. I'm going to be probative towards the bottom, because I think muskies sort of seek refuge there while it's pouring the rain.
Yeah, moderate or pouring, driving rain. Yeah, deeper.
Yeah,
I agree.
I'm not talking a drizzle. I'm talking like,
yeah, when it drizzled, yeah, the light stuff, you know, that's a different ballgame completely.
Awesome.
That could actually be good, yeah.
Right, but I'm talking, you know, it's hitting the water and it's moving the water, you know?
Correct.
I understand. It is creating vibration. It is creating, I mean, again, a million tippy taps on the water surface. So that's the way I've always viewed it. Maybe I'm wrong. It's worked for me. That's where I'm at. But, you know, just thinking about the amount of stimulation that'd be in the first foot, maybe 2 feet of water column. Water is so conductive. right? Maybe, Jay, what we need to do is I need to just hold your head underwater during a rainstorm, and you tell me if you feel the drops. What do you think?
I'll try it with a GoPro instead, but I love that. The suggestion's great. Okay.
I forgot we had GoPros.
Yeah, there you go.
But anyway, if we can't afford one, can I just hold your head underwater for a while?
Negative.
Fantastic. Well, Jay, I'm watching the counter here.
Are you?
As much as I hate to do this, I feel like we could get on a real tirade-y roll. I got to wrap her up because we're not going to be able to upload it here because there's no such thing as Wi-Fi, Jay.
You got to make do when you're in Canada.
You
on
do.
A hog hunt. And you got to get up early tomorrow, Steve, and pound
it's not
all day.
About, listen, I was born to pound all day.
You better believe it.
I pound all day even when I'm not fishing.
There you go.
I'm a pounder. Anyway, mm-hmm. We're going to wrap it up, folks. I promise I will try to get it where we can do a longer episode because it feels weird to do it this short.
weird.
I'm far too lucid, to be honest with you.
I want to keep going.
By the time the seventh Q&A question comes around, I'm like, hey, you know, I've lost my mind. So anyway, we're going to wrap her up. I'll get it uploaded. We will catch you next week. Jay Bird, say goodnight.
Thank you, guys.
Tim, say goodnight.
Damn.
Later.